It was several months ago that something very unusual and strange began to happen at my wife's and my recycling business. Upon our arrival one morning, we noticed that there were a few sticks scattered around the floor. And we would sweep them up, and the next morning, there would be more. And we swept them up for probably 3 or 4 weeks, and this is what we found on the floor. And we said, "What is going on here? Where are these sticks coming from?" Well, it turned out, high above our heads was a pair of pigeons. And we say, "What are they doing?" Well, they were building a nest. And this nest was quite unusual because the sticks were not woven together like a robin's nest, but they were just intertangled. They really weren't woven. They were just stacked like Tinker Toys. But we were curious as to how many twigs would fall from there. So we saved them. We saved them all. Each and every one of those twigs was searched out and collected by a pigeon, picked up with its beak, flown back into our building, and they were building a nest. And sadly, not all of their building components were used. And it took effort. It took effort for those birds. And the more they brought in, the more that had fallen on the floor. Perhaps there's a lesson for us here. But when you think about it, maybe it's difficult to understand that. So let's make the scenario a little more close to home for us. Maybe bring it to our level. Imagine several men getting together for a work party. And these men, they're going to build a garage. The walls are up, the trusses are set, and they start working on the roof. Well, as one person climbs the ladder, hammer on his side, nails, 2x4, he gets up to the top of the ladder and lays the 2x4 across the trusses and starts to grab for his hammer off his side. And he starts to get a good grip, but it wasn't good enough, and he dropped the hammer. So down the ladder he goes to retrieve his hammer. And as he starts back up the ladder, the 2x4, which he left up on the trusses, started to slide. He gets all the way up at the top of the ladder, and there goes the 2x4 and hits the ground with a thud. Well, he goes back down the ladder to retrieve the 2x4, and he was almost mad enough to throw his hammer, but he didn't. He goes down, picks up the 2x4, and he says, "Well, I'm going to do this in a smart fashion. I'll hold the 2x4 in one hand, I'll put the nails in my mouth, and I'll carry the hammer in my other hand. That way, I've got a hold of everything." So he goes back up the ladder and sets the 2x4 on the trusses, and he says, "I'm set." He carefully positions the 2x4, and then he pulls the nail out of his mouth, almost like a quiver, you know. And he's prepared. He's ready. And he says, "Well, I've got the hammer in my hand. I'm ready to go." Well, he's got friends watching him, and he says, "You know, I'm going to do this like a professional. I'm going to drive this nail with less than 3 strikes of the hammer." And he said, "But I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to do it with 1 strike of the hammer. And I'm going to show these guys that are working with me. I'm going to show them that I'm a professional." Well, he brings the hammer back and draws it back as far as he can because he really wants to get a good hit on that nail. And as the hammer quickly arcs forward, he misses the nail and hits his thumb. Well, the nails fly out of the quiver of his mouth. The 2x4 lands on the ground, and of course the hammer went flying. He was kind of upset, and then the whole process, he fell off of the ladder. When he gets back up off the ground and dusts himself off, he says, "This must be a project for another day." Or is it? What would we do? Would we keep going? And even as those pigeons, they suffered from losing all of those dropped twigs, they continued. They continued building their nest for several weeks. And they didn't give up. They persevered. Well, I've often thought about the word perseverance. And when I think about it, I didn't think of it in the whole context of the word, but I always thought of it as moving forward or continuing on. However, a few weeks ago, when I looked it up on Merriam-Webster.com, I found it being defined just a little differently. They define it as a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. The action or condition or an instance of persevering, steadfastness. Think about the perseverance of those two pigeons for a moment. Although all of these twigs, they were dropped, they continued on. They had a goal. Well, as the days of unleavened bread, they are quickly coming to a conclusion now, and they pictured the removal of sin from our lives. Will we persevere to the end? And probably this week, we all tried to be careful to let the puffed up, or to not let the puffed up nature of sin into our lives. And for some, it may have been extremely difficult. I know on our way home from the first day of unleavened bread, I said, "You know, I'm kind of thirsty." So we stopped at Dunkin' Donuts. And I was thirsty. And I picked up a smoothie. But you know, the donuts on that sign, they looked good. Well, some of us might have taken a bite out of a plump bagel smothered in cream cheese. That never happens, does it? Or maybe we even accidentally purchased a hamburger. Maybe even a donut. And we do those things sometimes without thinking. It's easy to do, isn't it? It's so easy. Well, I don't know if I've ever told this story or not, but when my wife and I, we got married back in 2007, we got married 8 or 9 days before the days of unleavened bread. And we went on our honeymoon, we took a cruise, and we got back to Cleveland the day before Passover. Actually, I think it might have been the morning of Passover. We observed the first Passover night to be and the first day of unleavened bread. And we were going to be driving up to Iowa for a project a couple days after that. And we were staying in a hotel. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be the man of the husband here. She was kind of getting ready. And I said, I'm going to go down to the lobby and pick up some breakfast for her. She'll like that. Now, this is during the days of unleavened bread. I think I picked up a couple bagels for her and a couple donuts and pretty much everything was leavened, and I get it back to the room. She says, "What are you doing?" But it's easy to make a mistake. It's easy. And as long as we are in these carnal human bodies, we're going to constantly fight battles with sin. Okay, still connected. I think. Shauna, you might want to check. But God does allow things to happen in our lives. Things are going to happen that are not related to sin. We're going to have bad things happen in our lives. It may be sin related. It may not be sin related. Some things, they just happen by time and chance. So this morning, we're going to look at a few scriptures that point out that we are going to face numerous difficult situations. But before we end, we are going to see the positives of these situations. We're going to see the positive of trials and the temptations in our lives. Well, let's now turn over to Acts 14. Acts 14. And we'll start reading in verse 19. Acts 14 and verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there. And having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and he went back into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." How many of us have been stoned by our enemies? I need to make sure I say by our enemies, so there's no misinterpretation there. Paul, he was stoned by his enemies, and they assumed him to be dead. And when they assumed that, they drug him out of the city and left him out there. But when he finally woke up, what did he do? Did he run away? No, it says he went back into the city. Paul realized that when God had called him and converted him, that his service to Jesus Christ would be to suffer. And all of Paul's sufferings, they were related to that great cause, that purpose of his calling. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, where we'll read more about some of the things that Paul encountered. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Even once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, many sleepless nights. Often I was hungry and thirsty, fasting often. I was cold and naked. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all of the churches. You know, I've never been stoned by my enemies, nor have I received stripes. Actually, once I was shipwrecked and lost at sea, but that's a story for another day. I've never been hungry. I've never been thirsty for a period more than 24 hours. But in the church today, it does happen. There are people that are hungry. There are people who have been beaten. There are people who have been caned. There are people who have suffered many traumatic things. Some here have lost their jobs for the Sabbath. Some have lost their jobs for the holy days. Actually, personally, over the last couple months, I've lost a couple projects due to the Sabbath. A couple. But that's what we deal with. We're going to be tested. And many are going to try to convince us to compromise the truth. And it's going to be through many tribulations that we eventually enter the kingdom of God. You don't have to turn there, but in Psalm 34, verse 19, it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." God has called us to be the righteous. And when I look at our Sabbath bulletins, I see the long list of people all around the world that are suffering among us. Many who live all around the world are facing trials. Trials that are very difficult to bear. And I can picture the faces of many of those who are not here with us because of their sufferings and their trials. Let's turn over to Romans 8 and verse 16. Romans 8 and verse 16. Romans 8 and verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Is there anyone here that groans inside when we think about all that's going on around us? Not only here in our local congregations, but other congregations and all around the world. This world is facing some troubling times. And we probably sometimes ask ourselves, how can God allow this to happen? Well, we can find that answer. It's a simple answer in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We may not know right now the entire purpose for trials in our lives, whether they're brought on by our own doing, maybe poor choices down through the ages, Perhaps Satan may even at times have a role in our suffering. Perhaps even time and chance. But there is suffering all around us. So as we've seen, we realize that we're going to face many challenges. Many challenges, many trials, many sufferings, many temptations. So we're going to spend the remaining time, we're going to look at three keys that will help us persevere to the end. Three keys that will help us persevere to the end. And these will help whether we're fighting to overcome sin or in our physical battles with health-related problems, with financial problems, problems at work. They will help us with all types of problems. Number one, we must believe that trials build and test our character. Believe that trials build and test our character. Several months ago, Shauna and I had dinner at a Chinese restaurant. And after dinner, the server gave us our dessert cookies. Many would call them fortune cookies, but we know that it's just a little piece of paper in there. And every once in a while, you receive a little note that is kind of catchy. It's clever, or it's even a little interesting. So I thought I would share this one with you. We want to have a testimony, but we don't want the test. We want to have a testimony, but we don't want the test. I thought that was interesting. Because God allows trials to come about, and they will demonstrate our attitudes, and they'll demonstrate our character. He's looking for character that emulates his own righteous character. We are the clay, and he's the potter, and he's molding us, he's shaping us, he's smoothing us, he's knocking off the rough edges. He's working to perfect us. You know, God could have easily created us perfect. And from our viewpoint, it may have been a lot easier that way, but he had to know for himself if we were going to be workable. He had to know for himself. He could have made us like little robots walking around that had all of the right decisions programmed in our mind. He could have easily done that. However, he created us just like him, having the ability to make choices. Now, the only problem is, most of the time, or not most of the time, a lot of the time, we don't make the right choices. So we're in a process of learning right now. We're learning to do right, and we're trying to learn to avoid doing the wrong. We're gradually developing holy and righteous character. But during that same process, we're learning that we must depend on him. We can't do it on our own. It requires him. It requires his instructions. It requires his word. Let's turn over to James 1. James 1, and starting in verse 2. James 1, and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, some translations use the word perseverance or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So when we face trials, or we're in the process of conquering bad habits, addictions, and sin, we're usually not jumping for joy, are we? We usually don't jump for joy. And usually it's a long, hard, and difficult road when facing those trials and temptations. I'd like to read that again from the Living Bible, where we can get a slightly different perspective. James 1 and verse 2. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. God is working with us now. He's building our character. He's building our character so that we will be full and complete when it is time for us to have eternal life. He wants to know that we'll be ready. Let's continue with that thought by turning to Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 3. Romans 5 and verse 3. But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. When we're faced with difficult trials, God's able to see how committed we are. How committed we are to Him and how committed we are to His way of life. And it's during those times of difficulty that the depth of our character is totally evident. He will then find out if we can endure the hardships and suffering. He wants to find out if He can trust us with all of the additional strengths and powers that come with eternal life. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. As sinful, carnal human beings, we face trials, and yes, sometimes they are painful. But in my own small mind, I find it virtually impossible to make the comparison of my own sufferings to those of Christ when He was crucified. But when we do suffer, we're sharing in His sufferings, even though it's just a very tiny amount. So let's remember that through all the trials that we face, God is building and testing our character. Number two, realize that we must have faith in our deliverer. Realize that we must have faith in our deliverer. Although God does allow trials to take place in our lives, and as a loving father, He doesn't like to see His children in pain. And when we trust and rely on Him, following His way of life, that's when He can and will deliver us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with each temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. The New Living Translation says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. That's a promise that we can believe. And God has promised that He will help us when we come to Him. He will either provide us with some relief, or He'll provide us the strength that we need to endure. Let's go back to the Old Testament and look at Psalm 34. We referred to it earlier. Psalm 34 and verse 17. Psalm 34 and verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So we can come to God in heartfelt prayer. He has promised to hear and deliver us from all of our troubles. It's a promise. And He'll not let us down. Drop down to verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Again, we can have faith that God will deliver us from all of our trials. We don't have the time now, but we could read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel 3. But if there ever comes a time when you begin to doubt God's ability to deliver us, that's a perfect place to begin reading. I can remember reading that story as a youngster, my parents reading the story to me, to a kid. That's really encouraging. But now, 30 years later, it's just as encouraging today as it was 30 years ago. The Apostle Paul is another person who was delivered on many occasions. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3 and verse 10. Second Timothy 3, verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered. We too, in confidence, can trust and have faith in God, our true deliverer. We can trust God. We can take that promise to the bank. Number three, the third key. We must always focus on the future. Always focus on the future. Sometimes it's easy to dwell or live in the past. And when times get difficult, we look at the past. Perhaps we look at the times when we were happier. Maybe when we were in better financial health. Maybe we look back at the times when we were physically healthier. Maybe we look back at the times when our church was much larger. But rather than looking to the past, let our eyes be focused on the future. the time in the future which is made truly possible by the observance of these days, beginning with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, where He paid the penalty and the price for all of our sins. We have a future ahead of us that is so encouraging. Now, I understand that we have to think about and we face our problems head on. We face our trials. We face our temptations. But what if, I get in trouble when I say what if, but what if we spent more time thinking about our future? Thinking about the future that is in store for all of us. After all, we're instructed to think about these things, aren't we? Let's turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It doesn't say, reflect on the many lies you hear, dwell on the negative, meditate on the discouraging, and think about the gloomy. It doesn't say that. And that is probably one of the biggest reasons I can't sit and watch the news for hours on end. I try to keep up with the world news headlines, but what the majority of the news I see, it's not very uplifting. It's usually not very noble. It's usually not pure. And it's definitely not of good report or praiseworthy. On the contrary, it's depressing. Let's quickly turn to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for which the things we see are only temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Isn't that what we're looking forward to? Don't we look forward to the things that will be eternal? Eternal life under the reign of Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's what we're all looking forward to, right? So, if that's the case, shouldn't that be our focus? Well, as we begin to conclude today, let us all remember that in order to persevere, we must realize that through our trials and our temptations and our sufferings, God is working with us. He is building and testing our character. He loves us. He loves each and every one of us. And wants nothing more than for all of us to be a part of His kingdom. That's why He's available to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have the ability to boldly come before Him, telling Him of our needs. We can tell Him about our concerns. We can tell Him about our problems. We can ask Him for help with our problems and sufferings. But we have to have faith that He listens and that He will deliver us. Lastly, let us all keep our focus on the future. Let's rejoice, knowing what is in store for us and all of mankind. May we all face our trials with joy, realizing that with all of those that suffer, we're sharing in the suffering of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's read one final scripture. If you'd please turn with me to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. And I'll be actually reading this from the New International Version. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for just a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verse 8. Though you've not seen Him, you love Him. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So as the days of unleavened bread will soon be coming to an end, let us all be filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy that comes from knowing and understanding God's great and wonderful master plan. May we all face our daily challenges and the difficulties in this human life with perseverance to the end.